Well, come on, y'all, while you're standing, give Jesus a good hand clap of praise. Come on, I think you can do better than that. Give Jesus praise. Come on, if you know he's been good to you, bless his holy name. If you can clap, go ahead, just clap your hands. If you can shout, open up your mouth and shout. If you can jump, jump just a little bit. If you can spin, why don't you go ahead and do it? Now, I'm serious. I want you to give him the best praise you've given him all day long. Stay standing for just a moment, if you will, please. I was thinking just a moment ago that there are four types of people who will enter your life. You've got adders, you've got subtractors, you've got dividers, and you've got multipliers. Think about that for just a moment. An adder always brings something to the table that will add to your life. Aren't you thankful for adders? Come on. A subtractor, if you're standing next to one right now, don't even look at them. Just keep looking at me. But a subtractor's purpose is to what? Drain the life out of you. What about a divider, the ultimate enemy who is in your life to divide you from your purpose? But think about this, multipliers. A multiplier will always give you something that will multiply your life to higher levels. And I'm telling you that your pastors, Dean and Amy, they have been over the years multipliers in my life. I'm telling you, church, God must really love you because he gave you some tremendous gifts. And if you know they have multiplied your life already, clap your hands and give God praise. For this couple right here. No, I'm serious. Thank God for multipliers. So grateful for you. And if you are standing next to a multiplier, just give them a good fist bump before you sit down. Say, aren't you glad you're sitting next to me today? Come on. Aren't you glad you're sitting next to me today? Thank you, Jesus. So glad that Ethan Kent is with me and his beautiful wife, Audrey. I'm also happy today. She usually don't go with me, but when I travel. But my wife came with me today. Kim, would you just stand up, turn around, wave at everybody real quick? Y'all, she's been my girlfriend since we were 15 years old. She was my teenage love, y'all. I married her when I was 19. I'm telling you, I was dating her back in the day when, you know, we were singing songs like, I will never find another lover precious than you. Y'all don't know nothing about this. Precious than you. I will never find another lover sweeter than you. Old school people only know this. 'Cause you are close to me just like my mama. Close to me just like my sister. Close to me to like my brother. Close to me to like my... Y'all remember this? You are the only one, my everything. And to you I'll say, come on, say, all my life. Pray for someone. Why y'all looking at me crazy? I don't know. Y'all don't know no love songs? I mean, all right, just sing it to Jesus. Jesus, all my life. Pray for someone like... Go ahead, just lift those hands, say. I don't know. They don't know nothing about that. They don't know nothing about Casey and JoJo. Y'all ready for God's word today? Somebody say yes. Take your Bibles. Go with me, if you will, please, to... 2 Corinthians 4. Verse number 18, and while you're going there, I'll say this. We brought some of our books. My first book, Collide, When Your Desire Meets God's Heart, came out in 2012. Also, my brand new book, Limitless, is available. We also have some of our worship, brand new worship CD called Sound of Grace. I would encourage you to stop by and pick some of the material up. I had such a wonderful time last night with a group of leaders. And Pastor, thank you so very much for the privilege of hanging out with y'all this weekend. Y'all are a fun church, I'm telling you. 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 18. Paul writes, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I believe I have a few prophetic things that I want to speak over this house in just a moment. I want to lay a foundation, then I want to speak some things over this house. Lift your hands. Father, through my preaching today and this worship experience, may I paint a crystal clear picture of why we can stand before you, of why we can stand before you unashamed and totally innocent. God, I thank you and I give you praise. Father, help the people to know that the point of my preaching is not to coerce or corral them into my belief system, but to give them a positive perspective that encourages them to stop judging themselves by the flesh, by what they do, and to start judging themselves by what you have already done. Take one of your hands, set it right here on your heart. I want you to say it out loud with all you've got. Come on, say eyes to see. Say ears to hear. A heart to receive. All of the good things Christ has already provided for me. Now be a blessing. Tell two people, say it's for you too. Come on, tell them. God's got some goodness for you too. Come on, tell them, even if you got into a fight with them on the way here. God's got some goodness for you too. The verse that we just read from 2 Corinthians 4 contains two very powerful truths that I want this house to get a hold of. The first truth talks about things that are seen and temporary, things that are passing, things that are fleeting, things that are changing. The second truth talks about things that are unseen and eternal, things that are lasting, things that are enduring, things that are changeless. Now, if you have a note sheet, I want you to draw a line, if you will, across your notes, and above the line, I want you to write unseen and eternal. Unseen and eternal. Below the line, I want you to write seen and temporary. Seen and temporary. Now, of course, I would say this, church, there is no such thing as the line. I want to make this real clear because we understand that these two realms coexist. The unseen and eternal is going on in the midst of the seen and the temporary. And so as believers, we have the privilege of living in the unseen and eternal in the midst of the seen and temporary world. We walk in this peculiar dual citizenship between both heaven and earth. Did you know we are in two places at once? We are spirit. Watch this. We live in a body. When Jesus walked the earth, he understood this because he declared, I am the Son of God and I am the Son of Man. I am both at the same time. Again, let me make it clear, there is no such thing as a line. But watch this, church, because we think in concepts, I think it helps us to separate these two realities with a line because I really want this house to better understand this. Okay, I want to explain these two realms quickly. Again, I told you, I'm just going to lay a foundation, and then I want to speak some things prophetically over this house. You're going to have to write as fast as you can, but I want to help you. So as this verse indicates, right, the realm above the line, right, is the realm of the unseen and eternal, right? I would call it the invisible. You can write any of this down as fast as you can above the line. In other words, it is what? Changeless. That's what we said. It is timeless. It's the realm of the spirit, of God's absolutes. It is the realm of, watch, truth. It's the realm of ultimate reality, of the uncreated. The realm of completeness, of wholeness, where things are already done, where things are finished, where things are settled. The eternal realm can be illustrated by this word right here, now. It's the realm of God's I am, where things simply are. I would say this, it is the realm of supernatural faith. Okay, I want you to drop quickly below the line. The realm below the line is what? It is seen and it is temporary. I would say visible. Visible. We call it the natural realm. It's the created realm of what? Just look around, of matter, of appearances. It's the realm of not truth, but facts. So it has a beginning and an end. It's the realm of past, present, future. It's the realm of birth, life, death. It's the realm of sowing, growing, reaping. It's the realm of undone, of activity, of process, of need. So whereas the unseen and eternal is the realm of God's I am, the seen and the temporary is the realm of I am becoming. So it's the realm of senses, where we see, where we hear, where we feel. It's the realm of, watch, natural faith. I didn't say supernatural faith. I said natural faith. I wish I could teach on that. I don't know. Maybe I'll do it next service. I have no clue, but I'm just going to move along. I want to make something very clear. When I talk about the line, I'm not talking about Greek dualism. I'm not talking about Gnosticism, in which one realm, right, spirit, we would say, is pure and all-important. And then another realm, matter and appearances, well, that's unclean and that's unimportant, because you need to know, church, that both realms are vitally important to God because he made them both. So the seen and temporary is a true realm and is important. We live in this realm. But here's what I'm doing today. We are simply acknowledging that there are two realms. And what did he say? Paul said that one is greater than the other, and that we're to fix our eyes, he says, on the greater one, the unseen and the eternal. That's what he said. Or I would say it like this, and this is a word I really feel for this house. I would say he says we're to fix our eyes, watch this, above the line. So I'm not saying that we deny the physical realm, but we do deny that the physical realm is all there is. We don't deny that we have to deal with stuff in this life. This is a word for this house. But we do deny that the stuff isn't going to win over us. We are going to win over it. Okay, that's a good place to at least say something. Okay. Let me just speak that over your life. Lift your hands right now. I just declare over you, it is not going to reign over you. You are going to reign over it. And if you're glad for that, just take about 10 seconds, clap your hands, and give God a good praise right now. Come on. My God, y'all making me work too hard today. So here's the big question. Let me get there real quick. How do we fix our eyes on the unseen and eternal? What is it, church, that shifts our focus? What is it that moves us from the realm of senses to the realm of faith? What is it that moves us from natural faith to supernatural faith? What is it that's going to propel us from living below the line to living above the line? That's what I want to help you with. Because, church, I have come to realize that people always live, now let me just say this, please get a hold of it, that people always live after the but. B-U-T. After the but. Y'all know what I'm talking about, the conjunction. That's what I'm talking about. How many of y'all old school people remember Schoolhouse Rock? Okay, that's what I'm talking about. How many of y'all remember Conjunction Junction? Okay, I'm just trying to help some folk. What's your function? Come on. Okay. And, or, but. Conjunctions. And means what? Both. Or means one or. Okay, this is a good group right here. But, watch this, negates what comes before. Now listen, church, you listen to people talk. Everyone lives after the but. Whether they are believers or not, I don't care what they say first before the but. Watch this, it's after the but that you hear what they really believe. No, I'm serious, y'all. Just listen to people talk, you know. You know, Pastor Dean, you know, he's a nice guy. We're blessed to have him as pastor. But now you're going to hear what they really think. You know. See, the fact is we're always living after the but. And unfortunately, here's what I've realized. Believers typically put the wrong things before and after the but. Okay, here's how I would say it. We put the God things above the line, the God stuff before the but, and the things below the line, our situation, our feelings, what we see, what we hear, after the but. Watch this, negating what comes before. So we say things like this. Well, you know, just listen to people. I know God loves me, but it doesn't seem like it because everything's falling apart in my life. Yeah, I know Christ is my sufficiency. I mean, that's what you told me. But I don't really have what I want. I know that, you know, God promised me wisdom, but all I have is confusion. Yeah, I know that by Jesus' stripes you told me that I am healed, but all I have is pain in my body. Are y'all getting this? If you are, at least just wave at me or somebody say yes. See, you do that, and where are you living? I'll tell you where you're living. You are living below the line. You are living in the junk. You are living in the circumstances, and the only thing you can hope for then is a change in the circumstances, and if that doesn't come, then I guess you're just up a creek without a paddle. But I would say this, even if it does, even if the circumstances do change, you still have not learned how to live out of the life of Christ within you. I would say it like this, you have not learned how to live above the line. I'm telling you, I feel it strong. This house is about to move from living below the line, say, to living above the line. Matter of fact, just encourage two people. Say, you about to move on up. Come on, tell them real quick. You about to move on up. I'm serious. Don't you miss this right here. Satan does, church, don't miss this. Satan does not care how much God talk we use as long as we put it before the but. And there's a name for that. It's called the holy butt. I like holy butts and I cannot lie. Come on. I'm going to tell you right now. I see this everywhere in Scripture. Did you know Jesus? Let me just talk about it real quick. Jesus understood the holy butt. Why? He used it in the Garden of Gethsemane. There's a paraphrase of that famous verse in Luke 22. He said, Father, watch this below the line. I am not looking forward to the cross. He said, if possible, let me out of it. In fact, this is so heavy on me right now. He says, it feels so depressing. Yet, he says, watch this. Never the, okay, y'all aren't getting this. He says, but not my will. He says, yours be done. See, that's the holy but. The holy but is a bridge. Watch this. It's what picks you up. And some of you are stuck here in the junk, but it picks you up from where you're at below the line. And it moves you into faith above the line. It's what propels you into faith. So notice the difference. Watch this. Yeah, I feel awfully weak right now. But God is my strength. Are y'all getting this? Yeah, I am sorrowful right now. But God is my peace that passes all understanding. Yeah, I'm in pain right now. But Christ is my sufficiency. He is more than enough. Yeah, I've got more month than I do money. But my God will supply all my needs. My God, somebody shout right now if y'all are getting this. And if you're glad, he supplies all your needs, not according to your riches, but his. Go ahead and bless his name right now. And about 100 of you, shout if you believe. Are y'all getting this? See, the holy but is what moves you from the level of soul, from thought, from feeling. I get it, which is perfectly normal reaction to life's situations. But it moves you to the level of spirit, to faith, where all of a sudden now you are allowing Christ to respond to your situations through you with his very life. So watch, the situation may be the same for a while, but you've shifted on the inside. Yeah. That's what I feel like is going to happen today. Some of you are going to get a hold of this. You may walk out of this place and walk into the same stuff. Watch this. But things have shifted on the inside of you. Yeah. That's exactly what happened to Jesus in the garden. He did not deny his situation. He did not deny his thoughts. He did not deny his feelings, which he said felt very overwhelming. But he chose to live from the Father rather than live from his feelings. So he turned the situation, which did not change for him right away, but he turned the situation into our salvation. And if you're going to learn how to operate the holy but, you're going to have to put the stuff first and God's truth last. Because can I tell you, you can't always change the stuff. Y'all figured that out yet? That's why some of you are so sick and tired, because you spent a long time trying to change the stuff. You can't always change the stuff, but you can change whether you're going to receive it or not. And what comes after the but is what you receive. And I double dog dare some of you to start listening to yourself. What are you putting after the but? Are you putting the facts or are you putting the truth? Are you putting feelings or are you putting faith? Jesus understood the holy but. I thought about this. David understood the holy but. Go there real quick. Go to Psalm 13. Look at verses 1 and 2. I just got to go quick. Psalm 13. I see this everywhere. How long, O Lord? Don't that sound like some of y'all? Sound like some of y'all prayers, sound like some of y'all songs. How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? How long will you forget me forever? How long, O Lord? How long will you hide your face? Whole lot of distance, whole lot of delay. How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long, O Lord, shall my enemies be exalted over me? Just stop right there. I just want y'all to get it. That's quite a circumstance, isn't it? It's dark. It's depressing. This dude is in serious trouble. And then, like a whole lot of us, what does he do? You jump into verse 3, he starts begging. Oh, God, would you consider, please, oh, God, would you consider and answer me? Look at verse 3. Oh, Lord, my God, light up my eyes, please, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over you. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. Stop again right there. That's a
terrible situation right there. But what is the next word? Everybody circle it, verse 5. He says, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. Look what he says. He doesn't say, I'm going to do it because I feel like it. He says, I'm going to do it by faith. I will sing to the Lord because you have dealt with me bountifully. I didn't say do it because you feel like it, but I want about 200 of you just to give him praise right now by faith because you know it's already. No, I'm serious. I didn't say do it because you feel like it. Do it by faith right now. Come on, I'm going to give you about 12 seconds. Somebody bless his name. Somebody lift up your voice. Somebody clap your hands. I didn't say because you feel like it, but I will bless the Lord. Are y'all getting this? You see it? It's that holy butt that propelled David into faith. Look at this. His situation hadn't changed. What changed? Where he was living from. He moved from living below the line to living above the line. And the holy butt changed it. It moved him from how long, oh Lord? Y'all read it. How long, oh Lord? How long, oh Lord? To what? I have confidence in the Lord. It moved him from victim, I love this, to victor. It moved him from being bitter, watch this, to being better. It moved him from being a whiner, if you're sitting next to a whiner, don't even look at him, just keep looking at me, to knowing I'm a winner. It moved him from fear to faith. Again, I'm not going to beg you. I'm not going to twist your arm. I'm not going to manipulate you. But give him a good praise right now. Come on. Paul understood the holy butt. This is crazy. Go back to 2 Corinthians 4. That's where we started. And look at this. Look at this. Everybody get there real quick because you're going to have to help me. I guess this 9 a.m. service is still trying to wake up. 2 Corinthians 4. Look at verse 7, 8, 9, 10. Look at this. We have this treasure in jars of clay. Stop right there. I wish I could just teach on that right there. Real life church, do you know what you're packing on the inside? You want to know why so many of you are sick and tired? Because so many believers today are on a treasure hunt and don't realize the treasure's inside them. Put your hand on your belly, say it out loud, say, I've already got it. Try it again, say, I've already got it. You're not going after anything, you're appropriating by faith what's already yours. Do you know what's in you? You have this treasure in you to show, look at it, that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to you. Watch. Below the line, above the line, below the line, above the line, below the line, above the line. Look at this. We are afflicted in every way. Y'all talk to me. That's where you talk right there. We are afflicted in every way, not crushed. Perplexed, not driven to despair. Persecuted, not forsaken. Struck down, not destroyed. Look at this, below the line. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, above the line, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in and through our bodies. Are y'all getting this? Do you see it? Paul moves from what? Below the line to above the line. He was living after the butt. And here's what I love. He put the trouble in front of the butt, and then he put God's perspective above the line after the butt. Now watch this. Did that change the fact that he was afflicted, that he was perplexed, that he was persecuted, that he was struck down? Not at all. Matter of fact, he continued to experience those things, the Bible says. But where was he taking his life from? He closes by saying, the life of Jesus. He moved within himself. In other words, he moved above the line. He moved from focusing on the facts, look at this, to focusing on the truth. And can I tell you, church, because we know the truth and live from the truth doesn't mean the external situation is going to change right away, but we change. It's the holy but that moves you from the circumstance to the solution. And can I just tell you, church, the solution, I know Ben Daly's kind of a one-trick pony, only has one message, it's Jesus. But can I tell you, the solution to your situation is not something. It is someone. Yeah. If you're thankful that Jesus is still enough, go ahead, clap your hands and give him praise right now. No, I'm serious. Christ in you. Christ in you. All of a sudden it moves you from what? Without to within. From the temporary to the eternal. From looking below to looking above. From feelings what? To truth. And I have come to realize, church, I really have, because most of us don't know how to operate the holy but. We always want to escape our circumstances. If we don't know, if you do not know inner life, you always want to run. That's why you see people running from one relationship to the next, one job to the next, wondering why they're never promoted, one church to the next. I'm telling you, if you don't know how to live from inner life, from the life of Christ, let me tell you something. You're always going to be running here and there and everywhere. But if you know inner life, then you understand that the Christian life is really us living in the same situations everyone else lives in. But how many of y'all know, believer, we live differently? At least that's what I thought. But so many of us are just as depressed as unbelievers, just as broke as unbelievers, on the same meds as unbelievers, frustrated like unbelievers. Are y'all getting this? I don't know who this is for today, but some of you that feel like it's just all crowding in around you, matter of fact, just lift your hands right now. I just got to speak this over this house. No one can chain your born-again spirit. Somebody just needs to be reminded of this today. No one can make you a slave internally. Satan is off limits there. Your spirit and the Holy Spirit live in perfect harmony. The Bible says in union. And when something is in perfect harmony, it runs smoothly. It runs quiet. It is at rest. All of this is happening inside of you while all kind of stuff may be happening outside of you. See, that's why folks should be able to look at you and say, my God, where'd that peace come from? Where'd that joy come from? Where'd that life come from? And you can say, I don't draw my life from everything going on around me. I draw my life. I got rivers of living water bubbling up on the inside of me. I got everything I need right here packed on the inside of me. Yeah, stuff may be changing all around me. Things may come, things may go. Things go up, things go down. But on the inside of me, I got a power plant. And greater is he that is in me than anything going on in this world. And if you believe it, give about a 10-second praise right now. I don't care what's going on around you. Give him praise. Draw from the life of God. I don't care what's going on in your family, with your kids, on your job. Give him praise right now. I don't care what's going on in your bank account. Give him praise right now. Y'all, I'm not going to make you beg. I'm not going to twist your arm. Give him praise. Don't make me work it up. Seems like this is new for some of you. Give him praise right now. I'm telling you, there's a release of the anointing of... Yo, I'm serious. I'm serious. Victory. You are a new creation, complete in Christ Jesus. You are a child of God, the apple of your Father's eye. You are dead to sin and alive to God. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are healed of the Lord. You are hidden with Christ. You are bona fide. You are qualified. You are anointed from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. You are a healer of the sick. You're a demon's worst nightmare. You are bold as a lion. You are bold as a lion. It is not going to overcome you, but you are going to overcome it. You are, by God's grace, what you are. You're going to start putting it after the butt. I'm going to give you 30 more seconds. Throw up your hands, 200 of you. Shout right now. Let the redeemed of the Lord open their mouth and say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say it now. You said I'm poor, but I declare I'm rich. You said I'm weak, but I declare I'm strong. You said I won't overcome, but Pastor, I prophesy you will overcome. If you believe it, shout right now. Yourself, do it for your children right now. Do it for your children's children. Do it for this house. Do it for your pastor. Do it for your future. Open up your mouth and bless his holy name. Lift your hands, Ethan, prophesy.
We speak life.
prophesy over this house.
We speak hope in the name of Jesus.
Turn up his microphone.
Peace in the name of Jesus. Everything that was lost is being restored in this moment, yeah. Oh. We speak healing. We speak peace.
Lift up your hands. I can't get this word out of my spirit. It's a word, restoration. I hear the Spirit of God saying real life. Restoration. More than before. Payback time is right now. More than before. Lift up your hands right now. Just receive restoration. There's a release of the restoration of God right now in this place. Ethan, prophesy more than before. Just prophesy over him right now. With hands lifted, say it out loud. Say, I believe it. Say, I receive it. I said, with hands lifted, say it out loud with all you got. Say, I believe it. Say, I receive it. I want to speak three things prophetically over this house. Stay standing. Three things prophetically over this house. Yes, I speak it corporately, but some of you individually are going to grab this. I just believe that many of you have the ears to hear. A heart to receive. Lift up your hands. And I speak this because many of you, I'm telling you, I just really feel this strong. You're drowning below the line. You're drowning below the line in what you see, in what you hear, in what you feel. But I'm going to declare these three things. I don't care what you see, hear, or feel. Number one, everybody say number one. Lift your hands. I declare prophetically in this season, Pastor, that the favor of God is going to promote you. I declare over Real Life Church that you are about to go to higher levels of success and higher levels of service. And the picture that I see is Esther. One day she was an orphan Jewish refugee. One year. Pastor, listen to me. You only been here 5 months, but you better hear me. 1 year later, she was crowned queen of Persia. God's favor caused Esther to gain the goodwill of everyone she met. The Spirit of God says, you are going to find goodwill all over this city. And watch, she didn't even have to work for it. One day of God's favor is worth 1,000 days of your labor. And if you believe and receive it, give him praise right now. More than before. Everybody say number two. Going back to something I said a moment ago, I really feel this strong. Lift up your hands. I just declare. Just fix your eyes on everything going on below the line. But I declare for this house that the favor of God is pushing open doors that otherwise would have been closed to you. There were doors that were closed to you in 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017. But you better hear the Spirit of God today that says you are being put into a position for blessing. And Jesus says, I open wide doors of favor, wide doors of healing, wide doors of wisdom, doors of provision, doors of abundance. And I hear the Spirit of God say that what seems impossible is very possible with God. If you believe it, give it praise right now and receive. Telling you that word's for you. What looks impossible when I looked at you, I saw it. What looks impossible, you better get ready, because with God that ain't even in his vocabulary. It is possible. And I hear the Spirit of God say, matter of fact, just start moving your feet up and down right now. Move them up and down, because everything you step on is yours. Shout right now and give God. I didn't say give him praise because you feel like it. Do it by faith right now. Better play that bass like you're prophesying. Too many enemies, too many enemies, too many enemies, too many enemies, too many enemies. Lift up your hands, but I hear the Spirit of God saying, Pastor, you better receive this. The favor of God is putting this house in victory over every one of your enemies. I don't know if y'all just heard what I said, because that's where you're supposed to shout right there, knowing that you are going to conquer, that you are going to triumph, that greater is he that is in you, that you are going to reign over it, that it is not going to reign over you, and every strategy that the enemy has fashioned against you, God says it will not prosper. If you believe it, shout right now and
Well, if I wasn't already staying for second service, I'd probably change my plans and go ahead and just do some overtime. You guys appreciate that word from Pastor Ben? How many of you are going to commit to living above the line? Come on, just give God praise one last time. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. And God, we commit to you to living above and God, not beneath. In Jesus' name. Everybody say, in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, this is kind of to be continued for me. It's hard to land the plane right now. But Pastor Ben's going to be in the back. We gave our books to all our leaders last night, but if you haven't had a chance to pick one up, you can purchase it in the back there. Pastor Ben's back there. He'll sign every book if you'd like it. It's a great book. I read it. Powerful. His testimony is riveting. I encourage you. It would be encouragement to you. We'd love to meet you if you're a guest today. Man, I hope you were blessed. Amy and I'd love to meet you in the lobby. But God bless you guys. Continue to pray about Close the Gap. And we'll see you Wednesday, if not...